Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, we thank you for another day, a sunny day, a beautiful day to wake up, to breathe in some air, to keep going. God, we thank you for showing us your beauty through your creation. And we thank you especially for your special revelation to us of yourself and your love for us in your scriptures. God, we pray that as we look at the word this morning, that as we come before you again here to hear a message, that you would speak to us in a way that would be transforming, that would transform us into those you are creating us to be. God, use these words, we pray, now and always, to mold us in your image, so that we might bring others to know Christ and his saving power for them and for the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, today's scripture passage is only a few verses away from where we left off last week in Acts. Last week, of course, it was Saul's transformation, right? He believed. He met Christ on the road to Damascus. And in between that passage and today, Peter had healed a man in the town of Lydda in Jesus' name. The man Aeneas had been unable to walk, and now he could. And it was a miracle. But now, in not too far away Joppa was a seaport town, so a lot of people came in and out, and not too far away, about 12 miles north of Lydda, where Peter had been, Tabitha, or Dorcas, as she's called in the text, she's given two names, as I said with the kids, she's given two names because she's multicultural. She has her Aramaic name, and she has her Greek name. And so she's there, Dorcas or Tabitha, and she's in this town of Joppa, and she was dying, the text says. And so the text doesn't really say, you know, whether she was a Jew who converted to believe in Christ or went further and believed in the Messianic Christ, or whether she was a Samaritan because she was kind of up north. We don't know these things. But what we do know is that she was a good woman, right? She was a good woman, a woman who took care of the widows. She made clothing for them and for others. She did good works, and she did acts of charity. And the text says that she was devoted to doing these things. She was a good person. And the text, this is interesting, the text specifically says that she was a disciple. This is the only time, okay, in all of the New Testament, that a woman is specifically named as a disciple. Thought that was interesting there. Now, there are other passages that allude to the discipleship of the women. Of course, the meeting of Jesus at the tomb, at the resurrection, all these things. But they're never named a disciple. Tabitha is here. And so we have to pay attention to that. Okay, because we remember that these are male writers, that men wrote the Bible, inspired by God, right? But the fact that they're singling out Tabitha here as a disciple is important for us to recognize, because she, in this, is an example for all of us Christians, men and women, to follow, right? And to learn from. And so she's this great example, right? But then she dies. She dies. And to be exact, she gets ill and she dies pretty quickly, the text has us believe. And so this is to point out, too, that even Christians die. I know we would like to think that we would be protected somehow, that we wouldn't suffer or get sick, that only people who do bad things would get sick, but we all know that that isn't true, right? Certainly not the ones who are devoted to acts of charity and good works like Tabitha. They shouldn't die when they're serving all of these people. But Tabitha died. And there are many we know or have known who were committed to doing these good works, to loving others and being good Christians, believing in Christ, and yet they have died, or we know that they one day will die, including ourselves. And so we're reminded here that no matter how good we are, how many good things we do, or how many people we help, or whether we believe or not, that we all one day will die. And so when she dies, they wash her body. They prepare her for burial, and they put her in an upper room so that the widows and the other believers whom she supported by making clothing and doing other acts of righteousness, that they could come and they could mourn her death before her burial. They could go and gather there. And what's interesting here is also what happens next. You see, the disciples learn that Peter was in Lydda, which was, again, about 12 miles south of Joppa. And so they send a couple of men to go get Peter. And notice this, too, that they don't say when they come, they don't say to Peter, they don't say to him, hey, come and preach a good funeral for Tabitha, right? They don't say, come say some good words about the disciple Tabitha. But they say in verse 38, they say, please come to us without delay. Please come to us without delay. You know, it just makes me wonder, what were they thinking at this point, you know? The resurrection of Christ was still pretty nearby. They had heard most likely about Aeneas and these other miracles that were happening in the Acts-filled resurrection church. And so what were they thinking? Why were they so insistent? We already know that Tabitha had died. And so maybe they wanted to experience a miracle. Maybe they had that hope of something more here. And so they rush him there, and Peter goes, he drops everything, he goes, and he travels there, and being about 12 miles away, that was about a day's trip. And so another day passes by the time that Peter gets there, okay? And so when he gets there, he goes in, and he's led upstairs, and the disciples, the widows are all in the room, and they're showing him the clothing that she had made for them. And he assesses the situation. You know, you can just see him, and he's being very, like, objective. He's listening, but he's like, we got something to do here. And so he assesses, and he puts them all outside, the text says. He gets them all out. No one else is in the room with him. The text doesn't say that he weeps. He doesn't say that he thought about death or the sadness of it or how could this happen to such a good person. It just says that he got on his knees and prayed. It says he knelt down and prayed. And who knows what came over him. Did Jesus speak to him directly in this moment? Or was he just reminded of Lazarus as being raised? Or perhaps he recalled Jesus' own resurrection. But either way, it says in verse 40 that in this passage, it says that he turned to the dead woman. But in the NRSV, the Bible that's in your pews, he says that he turned to the dead body. He turned to the body and said, Tabitha, get up. And if I did this at a funeral, I think you all would, like, think I'm crazy or something, right? But that's probably why Peter kicked everyone out, because they're just, what are you doing, man? You know? And so no one could tell him he was crazy, except, of course, for the woman that was in the room. But she wasn't going to do that, was she? See, Tabitha, she was dead, but of course we know here that she opened her eyes and saw him after this. That she wasn't going to tell him he was crazy because she was back. She was back, and Peter brought everyone in to see her alive, the text says. And you see, Tabitha, she had been dead, but now she was alive. She wasn't resurrected. We've talked about this before. She wasn't resurrected. She was resuscitated because she was going to die again someday, you see. She was a good woman, but she was still going to die, but it was not going to be today. Because here she was alive again. She could take care of the widows again. She could look out for the saints in her community again, the people that had depended on her they were obviously excited to have her back. So excited that people came to know about this resuscitation, about Dorcas coming back to life. And what does the text say was a result? It says that many people came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a result. Pretty amazing story. And so why is this important? Why is this important for Christians to hear this story, to learn about this story? Well, I think as I was praying about it and looking it over, I think it's important for Christians to understand that people come to believe in Christ, in this Christian faith, because of each of us. You see, it isn't necessarily us telling them about Jesus or trying to argue for proof of Jesus' resurrection or anything like that. It certainly isn't us just telling them that God loves them and then not showing the love to them ourselves. It's not that. You see, Tabitha, she was a woman who not only told the widows that God loved them, but she showed them too through her good works. She showed them that she believed in Jesus. Through her clothing them, through helping them out, through loving the members of her community in real and tangible ways. And so when she died, it was probably very confusing for the people who loved her. Because again, they probably asked themselves, hadn't she done all these great things for them? Wasn't this what Jesus had called her to do, to love others? Why would she die now when she's supporting all of these people? But you see, it was through her death and being brought back from the dead that people came to believe in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You see, your testimony, our testimony of faith, is in our lives. We testify to our faith in Christ through our words, through our actions, and guess what? We can even testify to our belief and faith in Christ in our deaths as well. There's this great man that I know, and he said he doesn't want people at his funeral, whenever he dies, to say that he was just a good man. You know, people say that a lot. People say, oh, he was a good man, or he was a kind man. He doesn't want them to say that. He says that he doesn't want them to say that because that isn't what Jesus called him to be. That isn't who Jesus called him to be, you see. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, he said, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And so this man, this great man I know, he said that he told us, Jesus told us to take care of the least of these. And so I hope people will say that when I die, that I took care of the hungry, that I took care of the poor, the widows, the orphans, that I visited those in prison, that I sought justice for the oppressed, that I clothed the homeless. That's what he hopes to say. He says, don't say that I was a good person. Say that I took care of the least of these. That's his testimony in life, and it will be in his death as well, because he does do exactly that. And that's what Dorcas did too. So whether she lived or died, she knew where her hope was. It was in Christ. The resurrection life right there. Not to fear death, but to know that we have a hope in Christ. To live into that hope now by taking care of the least of these. Because when we do so, we're doing it for Christ. As Christians, we aren't spared from death. But we're delivered through it, like the Israelites were delivered through the waters of the Red Sea. Dorcas was still going to die, even though she had been brought back to life. But we are assured that in life or death, that God is with us and can use us and our lives to bring more people to know the love of God that he has brought us in Jesus Christ, to believe in him and to bring glory to his name. So as I thought about what this man I know said, as I looked at this passage, I'm really convicted. You know, I don't want people, whenever I die, to say that I was just a good person, you know? I want to be like Dorcas. Who cares if I can preach? Who cares if I can teach? Who cares if I don't show it? If others don't come to see Christ in me through love, compassion, and hope in this life or in my death, then what have I been doing? And that's a question we all need to ask ourselves. If people can't see Christ in us, then we are just playing church. We aren't the resurrected Christians that we would like and hope to be. And so I want to be like Dorcas. I want to be like her. Let us all say that. Let us all believe and live into that belief in the risen Lord, letting Him change us, letting Him transform us, letting Him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, make us into true disciples whom others would come to know and believe in Him through us. That's our calling, brothers and sisters, to believe and to live into that belief. Dorcas understood this. And I hope that we do too. And certainly by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can come to understand this, come to learn this, and come to live this too. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for calling us into relationship with You. We thank You for people like Dorcas who showed us what that looks like in life or in death. And so, God, we pray that as we sit here or stand here today, that You would use this story, that You would use it all to impact our lives so that we wouldn't just let it go out of our minds as we leave the church, but that we would take it out with us, that we would help others, that we would love others, not just for our sakes or to feel good, but because You call us to. God, change us, mold us into those creatures that You have called us to be. And give us the strength to do it. Because it's a strength we need to not be so consumed with ourselves and what we need, to look out for those who need what we call just our basic needs being met. Lord, guide us on this path and lead us into greater life with You here and now and in the life to come. We thank You, Lord. We praise You and we lift this prayer up to You in Jesus' name. Amen.